The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on July 3, 2005. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple weeks ago, I told the story of the Buddha going to see the king and the queen. Do you remember that one? There was more to that story than I was able to bring out that day. So I wanted to pick up on that again, just to recall the story. The Buddha had gone to see a king and a queen. I'm not quite sure what the occasion was. But the Buddha asked each of them, "Whom do you love best?" As I mentioned before, when my teacher told this story, when I first heard it, what I thought the king would say, "Well, I love the queen best." And I thought perhaps the queen then would say, "Well, I love the king best." But no, they each said, "I love myself best." Kind of surprised me, but on the other hand, it seemed kind of refreshingly true, you know. It's just that we don't generally get this kind of honesty, I think, from people. But that was a point I wanted to get back to. What I focused on in that story is what the Buddha came back with. He said, well, since we love ourselves best, if this is true, he said, then don't hurt others. So I focused on just that. If it's true that for each of us we love ourselves best, if that's true, and certainly most of us, whether or not it's true, we love ourselves, we certainly do love ourselves. This is pretty standard. If this is true, you think of all the things that we do for ourselves to please ourselves and to protect ourselves and take care of ourselves. But the Buddha said, if this is true, then don't hurt others. And that was what I focused on a couple weeks ago. It's kind of counterintuitive, of course. We go out of our way to please ourselves. What we don't realize, and this is what I dealt with before, invariably that drives us to do things which, in the end, don't result in what we are seeking, which is to be pleased and comforted, protected, and all of that. In fact, in the end, it brings us to the opposite of all of those things. Well, since I went over that before, I want to go back to the original statement of the king and queen. When they said, "I love myself best," I think it's very important for us to take note of that. The honesty that was in that response. How many of us would say that, even if it's true? I think it's important for us to just stop for a moment here and to consider that statement and consider our own mind and how true and honest we are to ourselves. Because we should realize that if we take up this practice, if we want to follow these teachings and take up this practice, above all, we have to be true to ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. We cannot be deceiving ourselves. We shouldn't be deceiving others as well. But first thing we need to learn is to not kid ourselves. This is extremely important because without this, we can't possibly awaken. So that's what I want to consider today. When you think about what it is that we might be after when we take up this practice in this way, follow these teachings. Perhaps we're interested in enlightenment. We see enlightenment as something wonderful and good. It's freedom from dukkha, freedom from pain and sorrow and confusion. And we want that. But we have to realize that an element of all of this is that you have to learn to be honest with yourself. You have to start to recognize when you're just telling yourself a story. Very often we'll just toss these things off, like the king could have said, well, I love the queen best. And he might have believed it if he had said that. How easily we could just say something like that, it just kind of tumbles out of the mouth, and we mean it when we say it, because we think that that's our heart, that that's our feeling. But of course, if that isn't true, and it might very well not be true, and we haven't noticed that, we cannot hope to be awake. In fact, in that very moment, it's quite clear that we are not. So this matter of being honest with yourself is extremely important. In fact, it is vital, it is essential to awakening. Because in that moment when you're deceiving yourself, you are clearly caught up in delusion. This is not awakening. Now, this doesn't at all involve that we chastise ourselves or scold ourselves or think ill of ourselves, because we might start to detect and discover how we, in very subtle ways, will deceive ourselves. Doesn't mean that at all, because if we then pass into judgment and start judging ourselves because, I really haven't been fully honest. But there's no room for this, because this is just projecting yourself out there and now looking at yourself and judging yourself and thinking that somehow you're coming up short, when in fact, in reality, you're never coming up short. You're always complete, whole, true, real, genuine, having a full, complete, genuine, true experience, no different than that of a Buddha. So we should never think of ourselves in this way. It isn't a matter of saying, well, yes, I've been deceptive, I haven't been honest, and so now I'm somehow bad, evil, I'm no good. It's simply the wrong way to see it. It is simply a matter of, with this matter of honesty, is just simply to see things for what they are. And if in this moment we're caught in a deluded state of mind, a divisive state of mind, a wanting state of mind, a grasping, a denying state of mind, it is just simply a matter of recognizing that for what it is, and nothing more. What we tend to do, though, is to load something else onto it. Well, that's bad. And then we identify with it, and I'm no good. And this is completely unnecessary. Not only is it not necessary, it just fouls us up. It's just one more example of clinging and grasping and not recognizing what we're doing. So what this really comes down to is, it's just so often, it's like the story I told a while back with a teacher who was a 10K, I forget who it was now, but in giving advice to a student of the sword, and just told him to be watchful where you place your mind. If you place your mind on your opponent's sword, well, then your mind is caught by the sword. And if you place your mind on your own sword, it's caught by that. If you place your mind on your attitude, it's caught by that. And then if we want to ask, well, then where should I place my mind? But as the teacher said, in short, he said, there's no place to place your mind. The same thing applies here. This matter of learning to see where we are and realizing that we are caught with by ourselves, wanting something for ourselves to be a particular way. It is just simply a matter of realizing that, but not going anywhere with that or doing anything with that. the next move we make will be that we feel like we have to do something about that. No, it's just simply a matter of realizing your state of mind in this moment and nothing more than that. The moment we make something of that or define that, define ourselves or the state of mind or anything at all, we are immediately caught by that. And we are still bound in deception and confusion. So there's no room for judgment or grasping or evaluating or justification. We might think that, for me to be honest with myself, I have to be sitting here talking to myself, telling myself, always warning myself of this. No, not at all. To that extent, you are distracted. You're not here. You're not present. It is very simple that we just simply do not take these things up. It is just simply a matter of seeing what is taking place, seeing what is there in your state of mind now, and realizing it for what it is, and saying nothing about it. It is what it is. If you see what it is, that's it. What's to say? The moment you say anything about it, that it is this or that, that I am caught by this or that, you can't even say that much. It is just simply a matter of coming back to the immediacy of what is taking place right now, within this moment, in your own state of mind, in this moment. And this is to be honest with yourself. So you follow that so that the moment you say something, it's too much. We might think that perhaps the enlightened, the awakened, they walk around with the things going on in their mind. No, not really. Things may be. But we never have to talk or explain things to ourselves in terms of this matter of just being here and being present. We might need to talk and explain things to ourselves if we're, trying to program our telephone to do something or other or whatever. Yeah, sure, of course. But that's not what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with being awake. It doesn't involve a jabbering mind, a judging mind, a thinking mind. There might be thought, there might be things occurring, but let them be. Just see them for what they are. And we should realize too that, and this is the other part of the story that I talked about 2 weeks ago, that to the extent that we want anything at all, even to be honest, we need to be watching how we'll form that into something in our mind. And then we reach for that. We have separated ourselves out from that state of mind, thinking of it as something now that I have to reach for, that I have to attain, not realizing that you can experience it in this very instant. In fact, it's the only place you could experience it. It's right here. So it's a matter that we just very gently start to attend to this, to come back to this, to realize what we're doing. If you feel like you have to characterize yourself in some particular way, well, I'm an honest person or I'm not so honest or whatever, just realize that it is not necessary. But not only that it is not necessary, it is delusional right from the very start. Because the fact is, you cannot get hold of anything, including yourself, putting it out there. You cannot characterize it in some way. This is very frustrating for us because, we're all so used to reaching for something and wanting to have an answer for this or that. We need to have some reason or justification for what we think or what we do. But the awakened, in this moment that they are awake, they are not caught up in these things. Though they are present, it might seem that then it's all just kind of willy-nilly, and that's not the case because things are coming up in this moment, including states of mind are coming up in this moment. But it is just simply a matter of realizing what's happening, what is coming up, and not telling yourself that it means something else. It is what it is. Reality is just like this, and we can't get hold of it. you put something else over here now that you can get hold of, immediately you should realize that that is delusion. And when your mind goes there, just recognize what you're doing. Sometimes that is useful and necessary for us to do that. We get hold of ideas and think that's fine, but we should always be aware that we are doing that. But we make the mistake on occasion then to think that somehow this is reality. I am like this, or I am like that, or you are like this, or you are like that. And we should realize that we can never get hold of anything like that. That was going to sort of be my conclusion for my talk a few weeks ago. And I almost let it go when I realized, well, I didn't really get that in. But I felt that that was a very important point that we had to come back to. So I thought, without too much delay, I wanted to get back to that issue. This matter of honesty. You know, the truly, fully present and honest mind isn't really saying anything to itself. Not necessarily, anyway. And when it does, it realizes what it's doing. It realizes that it is not actually catching anything. Maybe one more thing I could say about this. What to be watching for if we do have to watch for something particular. And it is just that we are, well, I've talked about it elsewhere, you know, this matter of this leaning mind. And we'll notice our mind is leaning toward or away from one thing or another. And if we are honest in this moment, that we are truly honest with ourselves, we're seeing that this is happening. We're seeing that this is taking place. No use in denying it. If you see that, do not deny it. Don't judge it. Don't say it is bad. It is what it is. It is a leaning mind. It is a grasping mind. It is something caught up in confusion, and there's pain there. This is all real. This is what's happening. But it is just that. We don't have to go to that extra layer where now we think this is an attribute of you or someone else or something else. It just is what it is. And in seeing what it is, we just don't need to step into that and get caught up in it. We don't need to take it as real and make something of it or identify with it. Well, anyway, this is a, you know, really a vital matter in this practice. If our concern is that we want to be awake in each moment. But do you have any questions about anything? Yeah.
What is that story about the monk that gets up every day and says?
Oh yeah, Zwiegen. Yeah. Yeah. He said every morning he would get up, and I think it was Zwiegen. Is that right, Norm? You know all these guys. Zwiegen Zen Master. Well, he would get up each morning, and then he'd say, he'd call out his name, Zwiegen, and then he'd say yes, you know. And then he would say, keep your mind sober or something like that. And he'd say, yes, I will, yes. And then he says, don't be deceived by others. And he said, no, I won't. But this don't be deceived by others is, you see, not the business of others. And what do we think? We're thinking other people. Yeah, they're going to deceive you. Yeah, they're all out to do, you know. We might think that that's what he's saying. Well, what he's saying would include that, no doubt. But this other is anything at all. If there's some other there, whether it's someone with intention to deceive you or if it is just a stone or a beer can or anything at all, a thought, an impression, you know, the sunset, song of a bird. Do not be deceived by other. Or you could say, do not be deceived by otherness. That there is some other. That is to lose track of what I was talking about earlier in my talk, the immediacy of all of this. that things are what they are, that this impression, it is what it is. Whatever comes up here, it's just that. We have a tendency to think that things mean something else. See, I heard the song of the bird. Well, that's just way too complicated. It's just, you experience this. Even that's too complicated. Whatever I say is too complicated. It's just this. Still too complicated. But in realizing just this, now, if we truly realize it, whatever I say, of course, is deception, but if we truly realize this moment for what it is, no deception there. That someone wants to deceive you, and then we say, well, that's bad and that's wrong. It's just way too much. It is what it is. The intent to deceive results in pain, including pain for the one who is perpetrating the deception. I mean, it's pain and confusion all along. But even so, you don't need to be caught up in that. And I mean, caught up even in the sense of judging that person. You don't need to do that. That person isn't doing it out of wisdom, not of understanding. They're confused. We can feel sorry for them. But even there, we don't have to, you know, load it on with a bunch of saccharine pity and stuff like that. Just see it for what it is. And in that, there might be a moment, maybe there's something you can do to help bring our mind back to reality itself. And that's all. Most of the time, there isn't much you can do. Yeah, but still, just be present. Just come back to this. This is to not be deceived. So Zwigan Zen Master, every morning he would get up and he would remind himself of this. This is very important, you know. Good way to start the day. If you're alone when you get up, maybe you can get away with that. If someone else, you know, your partner or whatever, you better work it out with them ahead of time. So you can just suddenly get up and announce, you know, your name. But anyway, that's important. And it's helpful for us just to come back to this, to realize how easily we are deceived. How easily we are caught up by this or that. Yeah, and our emotions get all cranked up and our thinking starts spinning away, you know, over cop, you know, one thing, and not realizing that the whole thing is deception. Something happens in front of you, yes, it's painful, it's divisive, it's problematic, but that's all, that's what it is, it's just that. Kind of like when I discovered I had cancer, you know, you start making a big deal out of it, or just, it is what it is, this is it. What is it exactly? I'm not quite sure, but let's just stay with it. And you know, the kind of the issues I brought up 2 weeks ago sounds kind of scary, what's happening in the world and what might be coming and that sort of thing. As the moment unfolds, let it just unfold as it is. But if we can learn to just be here and to not keep telling ourselves that it means something else, well, then we can take care of it, whatever it happens to be. Same thing if some wonderful, pleasant thing arrives, you know. Well, you start reaching for that and, you know, getting all excited about that. That only is going to cause us trouble. It won't last. And when it's gone, then you start to feel bad and you want to get back and you might obsess over that. Or the whole time you're here, you say, isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? But as long as you keep doing that, you're actually not experiencing it. So it's really very simple. It's just, as my teacher used to say, it's just that we're so complicated. So everything we involve ourselves, we make it so complicated, difficult. But it's really very simple. Zen practice is very simple. We think, well, that's hard, it's arduous, you know. But it's so much easier than the other way of living, where you're not really paying attention, where you're driven, where you're trying to force something through or whatever. Of course, we think maybe we have to force ourselves to take up this practice, you know. Every day, just say, like Zwigan, just get up. And then we think that that would be hard to do. But actually, in a sense, it's hard because we seem to find it difficult to find that. But actually, it's very easy. It's very simple. It's our usual way of living that we so easily fall into. Well, we're careless and we're not thinking, we're not looking at, you know. And that just further complicates things, you know. And somehow that's what we do, and we sort of, like, we feel like we're just kind of flowing with it or whatever. But it gets very, very entangled and confused. And that's actually a difficult life, though we don't recognize it. Anything else?
Could you say something about that point that you were talking about right from the beginning about, I remember exactly how it was, but it was something about how you were saying that when you loved yourself, you would try to avoid hurting others?
That was the point I made 2 weeks ago. I had the whole talk on that, but I could say a little more about that now. Yeah, this is, again, it's part of what we're talking about now, just in how we end up deceiving ourselves and kidding ourselves. A lot of this is just simply that we do this out of kind of a self-love, self-concern. We want to please ourselves, you know, we want to protect ourselves. The talk I gave, I titled it, Your Own Worst Enemy. And in doing this, we become actually our own worst enemy. We want to be our best friend, you know. I want to, you know, really be kind and good to myself. And what we don't realize is that to the extent that we allow ourselves to get caught up in this, and just that very thinking itself is already painful. And everything that we would bring about as a result of that, trying to control our life or control the lives of others or the situation or whatever, inevitably it brings confusion and difficulty and pain. And 2 weeks ago I gave many examples of how this would be the case. I don't know, but did I say enough there? Did it help? You want me to say more? I don't know if I want to repeat my talk from last week, but basically, let's put it this way, that what the Buddha identified as dukkha, as suffering, as, you know, confusion, and sorrow, it comes out of our intention, comes out of seeing ourselves as separate and removed from everything else, comes out of our desire then to work with all of that stuff out there in such a way that we're always attempting to please ourselves and to protect ourselves, and it's always the support of this thing here that we've never bothered to examine, this thing called me, I. And even though, like, we point to ourselves like this, you know, thinking that somehow this is me, like, what, I'm my body, but what exactly am I? And if we are our bodies, why can't we control our bodies? We think, well, I can raise my hand or lower my hand, yeah, but you can't control it completely. Can you stop it from aging? Yeah. Like some years ago when I had cancer, well, did I cause that? Yeah. Some people would say, yeah, you did. Well, how did I do that? And how do I stop that, you see? So we don't really have full control of that. We can't really say that that's what we are. Besides, in every moment, it's something different. Same thing, you know, of any aspect of our mind. We can never get hold of what we are. We never look at this carefully. So we do all this stuff out there trying to somehow please this imagined thing here, which never stays put, it's constantly changing, can't get hold of it, you know. That's just confusion, and that confusion itself is pain and suffering because we don't notice it. That's part of our deception. That's part of how we're kidding ourselves. We're not noticing what's actually taking place. But all the while here, we're trying to please and protect this thing here that we've never gotten hold of. We rush out there into the world trying to control all of that. And, of course, that's just a losing proposition right from the start because we're not in control of that either. Or other people, or what they think, or what comes our way. To the extent that we try to please ourselves, it ends up just being so much of frustration and confusion. and drivenness. Only momentarily maybe do we get something to kind of work out right, but it's whatever it is, it's already interlaced with other kinds of things that maybe were unfortunate or whatever. In the meantime, too, there's other things that are probably wonderful passing by, but because we're so preoccupied with our agenda and what it is we're trying to do, we miss all of that. That just goes racing on by us. This is confusion. What the Buddha said, that to the extent that you do love yourself best, he said, and this is what I focused on 2 weeks ago, is to the extent that you love yourself, if that's really true, that you really love yourself best, if this is our concern, then the way we go about pleasing ourselves and protecting ourselves, we do it absolutely backwards. We're completely backwards on this issue. The way that we can take care of ourselves is to not hurt others, he said. The way that we engage with others, the way that we occupy ourselves with others, completely backwards. We're concerned about what are they doing and what are they thinking. You notice what they did, and you know we will involve ourselves with people in ways like that. You know, we walk up through the door and let the door slam behind us, not noticing someone else is coming up behind us, you know, things like that. We'll involve ourselves in ways with people where we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be occupied with what they're thinking, what they did, and what they're doing, and all, you know. But the fact that they're here in this space with us, we should be attentive to them. So it's kind of, once again, it's something that we just have completely backwards. So we should take care of people where we tend to ignore them. And where we tend to be preoccupied with them, we should forget them. So just completely reverse that. I don't know if that helped, you know. Anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.